I was ready before you. Just let the record be clear.
This is a little different.
It is different.
Before we read our scriptures, let's say a prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, as we turn to you and your word revealed in scripture, open our eyes and open our hearts to what you have to say to us today. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. If you'd like to read along, it can be found on page 720 in your pew Bible. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. This is the word of the Lord.
And friends, now we turn to Luke chapter 14. We're in the middle of Luke's gospel at this point. And this year, our lectionary, the book that gives us the scriptures we read and worship, we've been following Luke's gospel. Here we're in the main core of his ministry as he goes around from town to town. Now, large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Well, that's a fun gospel lesson. I mean, did Jesus really just say, whoever comes to me and doesn't hate their parents, their spouse, their kids, life itself, can't be my disciple? And whoever doesn't give up all their possessions cannot be my disciple? I don't mean to put you on the spot, Joel, but Do you really want to be Jesus' disciple?
If that's what he's calling us to do, I would think twice about it.
Yeah, I absolutely would too. I'll be honest, I'm not about to hate my family. I've no interest in hating life itself. But do you think Jesus might actually really mean this?
I don't think he does.
Yeah, I don't either. At least not in the literal sense, the way we take it to mean off the words of the page. I mean, we have to recognize that Jesus was a man who went around and offered a radical message of inclusive love and grace. So when Scripture gives us something that seems so just beyond the pale, or it doesn't fit in the greater message of the whole, we need to pay attention to the context of what's going on there. And when we do, we find that at this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus had begun to attract these huge crowds that had begun to follow him. See, many of them had seen or at least heard about the miracles that Jesus was performing, the healings. And as word spread, more and more people began following this miracle maker, assuming that by following him, they could get some of it for themselves, or just out of plain curiosity. But Jesus needed them to understand. You can't just suddenly start following him and assume, okay, that's it, I'm a disciple now. I mean, while we may wish it was, faith is far from that simple, right? Discipleship is far from that easy. So Jesus needed to clarify for the crowds gathering around him that discipleship, it's not really something you can enter into by impulse, right? It's not something you can just, well, half ask me what later and I'll tell you, right? So faith is a journey. Discipleship is a process. It's a process that begins, Jesus says, with an intentional decision. An intentional decision to stop seeing life through the lens by which you've always looked at the world around you and start living life by looking through the lens of God's kingdom. So he tells the crowd here in very strong terms, folks, being my disciple, it's really not for the faint of heart. If you really want to be my disciple, you first have to commit to life not as the world shows you, but the world as I show you. If you really want to be my disciple, you must first commit not to living by this world's values, but by my kingdom's values. So if you really, really want to be my disciple, you first have to commit to letting my kingdom shape you, my kingdom form you, my kingdom use you. He doesn't really put it this way, but he's really saying, folks, if you want to be my disciple, you have to go all in, right? All in on the journey of faith, all in the process of discipleship, all in on reorienting the way you see life, all in on this radical, powerful, upsetting thing we call grace, all in on the process of becoming more of who God calls us to be. That's why Jesus is really trying to make it clear. Folks, if you want to follow me, this is really about pushing your chips all in to the middle of the table and growing closer to God and closer to each other, which, by the way, is central to who we are, right, Towson Presbyterian Church? I mean, we have a mission statement that essentially says exactly this. We are a church committed to growing as disciples of Jesus Christ. And yet, just as Jesus tells the crowd, I think it's worth reiterating, this decision to invest in discipleship, right, to invest in your own discipleship, it's not a decision that anyone can make for you. Really, you and only you can decide if you are willing to invest in your journey of faith in this process we call discipleship. The church can make the case why we believe the journey, the process is more than worth it. And by and large, churches, I think, do a fair job at this. But what we must continue to do in more and different ways is to not only proclaim why the process of discipleship is worth it, but what the process itself can entail. We need to provide pathways and ministries and programs and community by which we can invest, both in our own faith formation, but also that of others, right? And while TPC, we have long taken that to heart on this day, on this homecoming celebration, we're doing something a little bit different this morning in order to lift up some of the ways this new programmatic year offers us these pathways, these programs, ministries, community by which to do this. So we want to share many of the ministries you know and love. They are returning this year, and they're abounding in opportunity. Mission and outreach, a phenomenal music ministry, children's church, church school, many more. But Joel and I, we want to talk particularly about some new and evolving ministries that really are going to need your investment. We want to let you know not only what they are or what changes are occurring within them, but why we believe they are so worthy of your investment. And we're going to begin with a program that really sits at the heart of our discipleship, adult spiritual formation, right? And at the heart of adult spiritual formation sits our small group ministry. Now, while I hope you've all had that brochure that came in our bulletins, it reveals just how our small groups come in all different shapes and sizes here. We have fun and fellowship groups, we have study groups, we have mission and outreach groups. Joel, what's coming up this fall?
So we've got running, we've got hiking, we've got bike riding, we've got wine tasting, Monday night football, we've got gentle yoga for older adults, we've got a group for singles to meet occasionally at a restaurant, we've got a new one called Together We Serve, where you learn about and serve with organizations in our community. We've got a follow-up to our Waking Up White study using some of author Debbie Irving's online resources. Also included in your brochure, Mary, Martha, and Me, a group for older single women to talk, eat, and share activities. There's Circle 13 for women, prayer shawl, men's breakfast. So many opportunities for you to build community within TPC and explore faith. You can sign up today downstairs and throughout the rest of the month in Thompson Hall or online at towsonpress.org. But we also have 4-week small groups for our church-wide study of Brian McLaren's fantastic book, We Make the Road by Walking. The opening words to this book, Brian says this: you are not finished yet. You are in the making. You have the capacity to learn, to mature, to think, to change, and to grow. So I love Brian McLaren. He's been huge for me in my faith formation for the last 15 to 20 years. In Rob's as well.
Absolutely.
And he had me at the very first sentence: you are not finished yet. It is so true. The invitation for us is for our faith to always be forming, always be growing, always be evolving. The title, We Make the Road by Walking, says that faith was never supposed to be a destination, a parking lot. But instead, it's a road, it's a path, it's this way out of old patterns into new patterns. And for our faith, our relationship with God to be a living faith, it has to be always unfinished. Mm. And so we are very excited about this book, and we are inviting you to read it for the next year. Yes, I said for the next year. There are 52 chapters in this book. So we're inviting you to read one chapter a week. Each chapter is 3 to 4 pages. Very doable. Each chapter begins with 3 scripture readings. You can read each chapter without the scripture. However, for the last year, when our Adult Spiritual Formation Committee read this book, we discovered the chapters were so much better with the scripture, because Brian takes the scriptures and reflects on them in each chapter. And so if you already know a lot about the biblical stories, this book is a great opportunity for you to explore them further. If you don't have much experience with the Bible, this is a great opportunity for you to begin learning them. So we encourage you to read the scriptures and then read the chapter. The chapters are organized around the seasons of the church. So Advent, Epiphany, Lent, Easter. So when we get to Advent this year, the book will be exploring Advent at the same time. And so if you've been on this path of learning and growing your faith for a long time, this book is for you. It will only deepen it. And if you're brand new to faith and you're not really sure where to get started, this book is for you. And this is a church-wide study, which means it's for everyone. And so we have four-week small groups this fall to get us kind of grounded and familiar with this book, and then more small groups will come in Lent. We'll occasionally work the book into worship and sermons this year. Rob and I will offer a monthly podcast starting in October. We'll take a chapter or two, discuss it, and then be a little transparent and share with you our own experiences of our own faith formation. And we might occasionally ask one of you to join us for a podcast and share your experiences of the book and your experiences of how your faith has grown. Our youth will explore it on Sunday nights. And finally, the author, Brian McLaren, will be with us here in October in our sanctuary. Physically here? No, he won't be here physically. We're going to Skype him in, but still pretty good. He'll tell us about the book and how it might form us this year, and we'll have him back again in Lent. And so how great would it be if we all participated in this study in some way, connect to it in some way this year. And the best way to experience this study is to buy a book downstairs, the discounted rate of $5, read the scriptures, read a chapter, and then watch your faith grow and form and evolve in new ways this year.
So I guess I need to read this book.
You need to read this book.
Yeah. No, seriously, if you couldn't tell, we're excited about this. And we're also excited about the way the book study can directly affect another new ministry that we're birthing, actually, October 7th. It's a new men's group. We'll meet on the first Monday of the month. We'll have soda, we'll have beer, we'll have water. And we'll spend our time exploring a chapter of Brian's book together, but also asking our guy questions, sharing our guy struggles, and frankly, beginning to open ourselves up to spiritual formation in possibly new ways for us. Because the truth is, men, guys in spiritual formation sometimes struggle to go together, if we're going to be honest about it, right? Sometimes we men don't know how to approach it or feel as if we don't need to. But in our men's group here, we'll prove those illusions wrong as we form new relationships and have some good laughs and make good company and growing along the path of discipleship together. We're excited for that. That's also not the only new evolution in ministry for a specific group here. And I want to share, for a good long while now, Joel Janess and I, we have been intentionally studying the faith formation of children and youth. And as we have, to make a really long story short, we've become convinced of the important role that worship plays in the life of our children's faith formation. Now, at TPC, our church school schedule, it prohibits children's inclusion in all of worship, right? They're not here with us right now. They're in church school. And while there are certainly some positives to this, we have to admit that there are also some pretty significant drawbacks. Because when they're not in worship, the truth is we can't teach our children how to worship. And when they're not in worship, we can't teach our children how to find meaning and value and to experience even the divine in worship. And so by the time they get to junior high or senior high, it's not fair for us to then suddenly say, okay, now we expect you to suddenly sit in worship and suddenly find meaning and value in this experience we have not prepared you for. So last year, we took the step of bringing our junior highs out of church school and into worship throughout its entirety. That was one step. This year, We take another as we will begin to include our fifth graders in worship on Communion Sundays. That's the first Sunday of the month. We believe this will enable our fifth graders to begin exploring worship with their families just a bit, while also giving them a chance to experience the sacrament. But that's not all. On these same Sundays, on Communion Sundays, when our fifth graders are with us in worship, our third and fourth grade class is going to be going to a specifically designed children's church just for them. There, they're going to not only learn about worship in developmentally appropriate ways, but they'll also get to experience the joy to be found in worshiping God together. So we're excited for that. But I also have to share, as important as we believe worship is to the faith formation of our children, we've also become convinced that it is not the number one faith former in our children's lives. Church school is very important. Worship is very important. But the number one faith former in a child's life is their parents. And so we at TPC need to do as much as we can to help parents feel comfortable engaging with their children in faith discussions, to help their children explore their own faith questions, to help their children witness them living out their faith, how they're living it out, why they're living it out. And to share a little bit of the ways we're going to do that, Joel.
So we have formed a We Make the Road by Walking small group specifically for parents with young families. It's only going to meet twice instead of four times. It'll meet at TPC with dinner and childcare included. So it's an opportunity for you to build community with other parents, explore a couple chapters of Brian McLaren's book with other parents. But parents, you also need opportunities outside of study to be with one another, build relationships, and just have some fun. And so three times a year, we offer Parents Night Out. It's an opportunity for parents of children, of teens, and college students to meet at one of our homes for food, for beverages, for conversations, and simply enjoy being with one another. So we've been talking about faith formation, worship, small groups, and how they play a huge role in the formation of our faith. But faith formation doesn't just happen here at church or alongside our community of faith. It also happens on our own. And if we want our faith to grow, it needs to happen outside of TPC. And so at TowsonPress.org, under the Faith at Home section of our website, we are slowly building some resources for you to grow your faith on your own. So you'll find books that Rob and I recommend, some podcasts and apps that we recommend, playlists, these very short kind of faith-forming experiences, and some spiritual practices. And so if you ever ask the question, I think we all ask this question, how do I pray? What does it look like to connect with God? We invite you to start right there at our website with a couple of spiritual practices that we recommend.
Amen. But now we also want to just pivot, and one last point, just one. We also need to recognize that, as our mission statement says, we're not just invested in growing our own discipleship, right? We are interested in spreading the values and the love and the peace of God's kingdom out. So while we are, make no mistake, incredibly excited for ways in which we can all here invest in our discipleship, here's where we also ask you to invest in the faith formation of those around you. And to this end, you heard during our announcements me mention a new ministry here. It comes from our new core team, Community Outreach and Engagement. Their call has been to help us grow our relationships beyond our doors. So they've been investing in not only making sure the community around us know that they are genuinely welcome here, regardless of the circumstances from which they come, but we want them to know they're invited here. And there's a difference there, isn't there, between being welcome to show up and being genuinely, warmly invited to show up someplace? So as I said in that announcement, we're now going to begin to have new welcome centers. One of them's new, the one outside the rear of the sanctuary. This is for visitors, but it's also for members to come and learn more information about things. One is down in our church hall. They'll be staffed every week by an outreach minister wearing a blue name tag. And then after the worship service each Sunday, we're also going to have an outreach minister who is specifically inviting guests to come and learn and explore a little bit more about the values and the ministries of our church here. But our outreach ministry team can't do this by themselves, friends. If we are going to become a truly inviting congregation, that requires not just a few, that requires all of us. So please keep a lookout for ways to communicate genuine welcome to those around you. Share us on social media. Keep a lookout for new printed materials that's coming in the back of the pew racks. And that's just some of it. We value all the ways in which we can spread the kingdom of God, not only amongst ourselves, but out and beyond as well.
Well, that was a lot, wasn't it?
It was.
So as our sermon comes to a close, let me say this. Ultimately, we hope this was more than less for you. We hope we've left you with the feeling that there is more for you here at TPC and more awaiting you as you walk along the Jesus path. As Rob said at the very beginning, the path or road we are on is one where we commit to allowing God to slowly and patiently shape us and form us into who God is calling each of us to be. In the introduction to We Make the Road by Walking, Brian says this: what we all want is pretty simple, really. We want to be alive, to feel alive, not just to exist, but to thrive, to live out loud, to walk tall, breathe free. We want to be less lonely, less exhausted, less conflicted or afraid, more awake, more grateful, more energized, and purposeful. The quest for aliveness is the best thing about religion, I think, Brian says. It's what we're hoping for when we pray. It's why we gather, celebrate, eat, abstain, attend, practice, sing, contemplate. When people say, I'm spiritual, what they mean, I think, is simple. They're saying, I'm seeking aliveness. We are not finished yet. We are in the making. Thanks be to God.
Amen.